What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear.
Have a pitcher of water out for you, Brother John.
Appreciate that, Brother Gary. And I'm so thankful the Lord bless you for wisdom, sent for that Bible that you've forgotten. You may need it.
I'm following along.
No, indeed, it's a joy to be here. It's good to see you all. It's been a while. We do ask an interest in your prayers, not only for me, but for one another. That the Lord of glory might indeed shower upon each of us an understanding heart today, that we might not only rightly divide, but that you might rightly receive God's word as it comes forth today. Is your mic on? Brother Gary.
Hold it's on, but you got to speak up.
Where's your volume?
Huh?
Where's your volume?
We got. It comes right here. Just let it rip.
Okay. That better? Now we have much to be glad for, much to give thanks for. And I don't know about you, but I come today with a great hope, that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie,
Amen.
Has promised to a people. And brethren, we have been blessed with that hope that we're among that people that have been blessed with that gift of eternal life. That life which is in his Son. You know, we read in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
We also read that in him was life.
Right.
And that life that we enjoy, brethren, as God's children, is a gift from Almighty God.
Amen.
That life that we are blessed to partake of is by his hand. I don't know where I'm going this morning, brother. My thoughts are all over the place. We just pray that the Lord will settle them down, that he might be glorified in all that we're blessed to proclaim. And I know that we all go through troubles here, as I look at John 14. The Lord of glory says, let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
This world is full of trouble, brethren. The brother asked for prayer for those family members of those who were lost in that airplane, that disaster. All around of us there's troubles for God's children. But we know God told us that a man born of a woman
right.
Is but a few days, but full of troubles.
Amen.
So we know that they're going to come our way, and we see them all around us. But yet the Lord of glory tells us in John 14 to let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
You believe in God?
Yes.
And believe also in me. That belief is a gift.
Right.
That belief of eternal life, brethren, is not something that we gain on our own, but it's a gift. It's a gift from Almighty God. And if we're blessed to believe today, then we give thanks. We give thanks to a merciful God. You know, the writer talks about the richness of God's grace and the richness of his mercy. You know, God is so rich in his mercy toward us, brethren. And he's so gracious in the love that he showers upon each and every heart. And sometimes we're made to wonder why. Why, as low as we are, as low as we can be, as trifling that we can be from time to time, you think about that one who was in that jet, who was co-pilot in that plane, and you think about how awful that was, that he could deliberately slam that plane into that mountain with all of those lies that were on board. You think about how awful that was. Brethren, I would declare that you and I, without the grace of Almighty God,
right,
we could go that same way. We could be just as awful in the natural mind. Our sins could be of that magnitude, brethren, that we could so easily take a life. We could so easily take many lives without even a thought, if it wasn't from the love and grace of Almighty God, who has loved the people, brethren, and who has made steadfast and sure promises to us as a people, that gift of eternal life. So when the Lord of glory says, let not your heart be troubled, brethren, he is the deliverer from troubles.
Amen.
He's the deliverer from trials. He's able to steal those storms in our lives and bring peace, a peace that passeth all understanding, brethren, a peace and joy that he showers upon our lives and our hearts, brethren. And how much peace and how much joy is our God able to give us? Well, Scripture said God is rich.
Yes.
His wealth is unlimited.
Amen.
His riches and his love, brethren, is unlimited.
Amen.
He has enough for us all. And who is us all? Us all, brethren, is a number that no man will ever be able to number. But yet God, who is rich in mercy, he's able to be rich in mercy towards you in your trial this hour, regardless of what that trial might be. I don't know what it is. And sometimes you and we don't even know what our own trial is. But God does. Sometimes we don't know what we need to be delivered from. But praise be to God, we serve one who does know what we need to be delivered from. And sometimes, brethren, that delivery is from even our very selves. You see, brethren, when we have that old nature that rises up in us, that evil that is within. You know, the apostle wrote that even when I would do good,
right, that
evil is always present. Brethren, you think that evil that the apostle writes about is only present with him?
No.
No, brethren, it's present with us all. I don't care what office we're in. I don't care what it is that we might be doing. Whether we think we're doing in the service of the Lord or whether we think we're doing in service for one another. That every time that we would be moved to do something good, brethren, evil is always in the midst. Evil is always lurking there, seeking indeed not only to snatch the joy, brethren, but and even to snatch the motive and the reason behind what you're doing that is good. That you might want to even declare that goodness to be of yourselves. That goodness would be of your works and not of God's. Evil, brethren, rears its head in many forms and many ways. And sneaks indeed not only to take the joy from your heart, but the praise from Almighty God, who is worthy of our praise. Oh yes, he would seek to snatch that praise from God that you might heap it upon yourselves. But you know, brethren, no matter how hard you heap or how high you try to heap, no one will steal his glory.
Nope.
And no one will steal his praise, brethren.
Nope.
It is his and his alone. But we, brethren, as mere mortals in this sinful world that we occupy. And why is this world sinful, brethren? Because of that transgression. And we, brethren, we follow in that same sinful state, that same sinful nature that our father Adam found himself in when he betrayed God, when he disobeyed that commandment that was given to him while in the garden. And so, yes, we toil and we labor and we sweat. And all of those things, brethren, because of that one transgression by that one man. But praise be to God, that was not the end. You see, because God raised up another.
Amen.
In the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. So while sin came by one hand,
right.
Oh, peace, grace, and joy, and eternal life came by another.
Amen.
By the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this Lord Jesus Christ? Who is this one who is verily man and verily God that we talk about? Scripture declares him as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
What does that mean? To be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, we know what a king is naturally speaking. But we don't know what it means to be King of all kings. To be Lord of all lords. To be King of this earth and all the inhabitants thereof. We can't even begin to comprehend what all that means. But yet, brethren, we have gathered this hour to worship He who is that one. He, brethren, who came to this world, yes, verily man and verily God. He had to be man. He had to endure the wrath of the Father. He had to endure all the sins of all those that God gave to him in a covenant of grace even before time was. He had to. Why? Because of Father. And he and the Spirit entered into that covenant even before time was. You know, Paul writes about that eternal life, that hope that he had. How we think about Paul, and we think about John and Peter, and all of those great prophets of old. Well, you know, brethren, isn't it interesting how we look at Isaiah and we look at Paul and Peter and all of those and we read that same message. You know why? Because it's the Word of God. It's not about Paul or John or Peter or any or Isaiah or any of them. It is about a God. The living God. Who purposed, brethren, that He would indeed give to His children as we sojourn in this time world, as we go through time, brethren, He has given us living examples of, brethren, of who He is and how we are as His people and how He delivers us in this time world each and every day of our lives. The Son of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, that the Apostle John writes, in the beginning was.
Right.
You see, brethren, it was never a time that he was not. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three that are in one, the three that we can't even explain, the three, brethren, that we cannot even comprehend. Then how can he who is the Father, the Son, pour out his wrath on the Son? How can he who is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit move in such a way to quicken us? I mean, how can the three brethren work in total unison in all manner of ways? How can they? You know, I've heard God's children say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to find out. No, you're not. You see, brethren, that is not what heaven's all about. When we get to heaven, we're going to praise Him. We're going to praise Him as we ought. You think we praise Him as we ought now? No. No, brethren, because even while our lips would cry out songs of praise, there's evil in the midst of it all. Because of this old nature and this clay tabernacle that we inhabit in this land below. We'll never be perfect. As long as we're here. In this body, we will never be perfect. But there is perfection to be had. For he who has begun that work, he will complete it. Not here. We will never be totally complete here, brethren. But we do have that hope. That one sweet day we will be. When we're wafted away. And we're in the presence of Almighty God. What does it mean to be in His presence? All right, these carnal minds can't even begin to comprehend what it means to be in presence of a holy and righteous God. We're at all just coming in, just becoming before that throne of grace in this time world. We can be made, brethren, to feel His manifest presence and simply to just be in awe to be able to have an audience with Him here below. We can't even begin to comprehend what it means to a little Lamb of God to be wafted out of this tabernacle and to be in the presence. To be in presence of one so holy and righteous as He is. We can't even begin to comprehend that. But yet we've been given a great hope that we will one day. That once we day, we will put all of this aside and we'll leave it behind and we'll go home to be with He who has loved us with an everlasting love. How can God love us with an everlasting love? Look at us. Look at us, brethren. How can He love us with an everlasting love? Because He is. He is that He is. And He purposed to love a people. Not because they were bigger and greater, as He told Israel of old. He didn't love you because you're minor than anybody else. Because you're greater than anybody else. But He simply loved you because it was His good pleasure to do so. And if you feel love today, if you feel the love of Almighty God today, it is because that same God has loved you even before time was. He didn't love you because you did something nice today, brother, because you held the door open for some sister and you let them go ahead of you. He didn't love you. He didn't begin to love you for that. If He loves you, brethren, He always has. And when John says here that, John says he, when the Lord says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, another writer says even the devil believes in God. But the Lord is telling here, He's talking to a particular people here. He's talking to you, I hope, and me as well. When He says, if you believe in God, you believe also in me. You know, one of the followers says later on here, well, tell us, show us who He is and we'll believe. Has the Lord shown you who He is? Have you been blessed to see this one who is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I know you have heard preachers stand in front of you and tell you about Him. But have you been blessed to see Him? Have you been blessed to commune with Him? Or is it just a fleeting thought? The Scripture tells us, brethren, that he who likes wisdom and understanding, let him ask of God.
Amen.
You know, brethren, we can stand before you and proclaim to you the gospel, the good news as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But unless the God of heaven blesses you with a heart of understanding, it is but mere words. Yes, I heard of this Jesus, but I don't know who He is. I heard many talk about Him, but I've never been blessed to feel His presence in my life. I have heard many who said they have cried out unto Him in their moments of distress and peril, but for some reason, the words just don't seem to come for me. Well, brethren, if you're struggling that way, but yet have a desire, I want to feel Him, I want to know Him, brethren. That is an evidence, brethren, that he's already begun to work in your hearts.
Amen.
That is an evidence, brethren, that he's already claimed you as his own.
Amen.
That is an evidence, brethren, that all you need to do is cry out. Cry out unto the Lord our God, and he will deliver you. He will indeed grant you that audience. He will come and commune with you, just
Amen.
As Scripture tells us that he will.
It's a promise.
It's a promise of Almighty God,
Amen.
Not this sinner, and not Brother Garrett, but this is God's holy promise
Amen.
To all of those that he loved and that he has loved throughout all of time. That is the love of God. And that is the richness thereof, you see. Because he will not only do it for you, but he'll do it for you too. And for you over there too. You see, God is not limited. He's not too busy that he doesn't have time for you. He's not too busy sort of keeping this world into being that he doesn't have time to commune with you individually. God is able to do that. And not only is he able, he does. He does do that, brethren. I know we struggle with unbelief. And we struggle with, do I really believe the right thing? Is what I believe really the truth? I believe there is a God. But is he the one true God?
Yes.
I believe that there is one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe in one who is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who comes and comforts and leads us into all truth. I believe. And I'm sure that you believe too. But what about our unbelief? What about those dark hours that we just don't believe nothing? I mean, the trial is so intense that surely if there was a God, he would not suffer that I would be here in this trial. Oh, that is what the adversary would have us to feel. God doesn't have time for you now. Just take a number like you do in the grocery store. You go to the deli, you take a number, you wait your turn. Just take a number and he'll be with you when he gets time. You see, that's what the adversary would have you to believe.
Yes.
But brethren, that is not what God tells us in Holy Scripture. But yet, we're so easily duped and removed from the truth that seeds of doubt or so easily scattered upon our hearts and upon our minds. And brethren, we began to believe a lie rather than believe the truth. Then the Lord of glory has told us, and he has promised us, that I will be with you always.
Yes.
Even throughout the end of time. Then the adversary would say, oh, he really didn't mean that. He meant that one thing for really important, that he'd be there. And you see how easily Eve was so beguiled? Brethren, we too can be easily removed from the truth and to believe on a lie. But the good news is no matter how much the adversary might taunt us in this time world, the good news is he has been defeated. You see, the Lord of glory has already accomplished that. He has been victorious over sin, death, and the grave. He has already accomplished all those things, you see. And the adversary know that time is running out. But let me wreak a little havoc anyway upon these little lambs who are just so easily removed from the truth. Well, you see, the adversary simply just has a field day with me and with you. When our minds are so easily removed from the truth, and we begin to believe fables,
right,
and we begin to believe lies. But you know, just keep in mind that little father in the Gospels, when he came, he asked the Lord to heal this child, and the Lord said, thou would have faith. And that father knew where he was. And the father simply says, Lord, I believe.
Help
thou my unbelief.
Amen, that's us.
What a sweet example it is for us, brethren. Don't read these scriptures and just say that, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. Every single word applies to you. You see, brethren, that's how the adversary works in you. Having you to think that, well, pay attention to this, but not to that. You, brethren, you think of that father. That father is you. That father is me. That father is all of us, brethren, who find ourselves in a moment of weakness. And we're doubting that God is able to deliver. Remember that little leopard who simply says, I know that thou canst, if thou wilt. God is able, brethren. Do you believe that he is able? Do you believe that he will deliver? Not that he's going to give you that job you're looking for. Not that he's going to give you that house or that car. Deliverance is not in those things, brethren. But believe that he will deliver, and he doth deliver each and every time and in each and every circumstance, brother. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the trial is. Maybe you've lost someone. Maybe you have a loved one who's sick. And maybe you're praying that the Lord of glory will simply just deliver them and restore them back to good health. And maybe if he doesn't, you think that God has somehow failed your request, or that God has failed to deliver. Brethren, God delivers in his time.
Amen.
And in accordance with his good pleasure.
Amen.
It's not about our natural wants and desires. If that dear one was in the Lord, that dear one was delivered from their affliction and into his arms. And if we can't see the deliverance in that, then pray be that the Lord would deliver us from ourselves. Because, brethren, if that is where our heart is, our heart has become cold. And we lack understanding as to the will and the love and the power and the deliverance of Almighty God. You see, brethren, God loves you. And God loves all of those that he gave to the Son in the covenant, even before time was.
Amen.
And we belong to him, you see. And God gives us treasures here below. And those treasures come in all forms. It could come in the form of a spouse, a little child, a relationship. It can come, those treasures come in all kinds of forms. But brethren, we're simply stewards,
right,
of those treasures. They're not ours. You see, they belong to God, just as we do. When scripture says that ye have not been purchased with things such as gold or precious stones, but that you have been purchased with the shed blood,
yes,
of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The operative word there, brethren, is that Ye have been purchased. We're not our own. But we belong to one who is greater than we. We have been bought, brethren, with a price that only He could pay, because we were unable to pay it ourselves. That blood, brethren, that shed from Calvary's cross covered a multitude of sins. No, it did not cover the sins of every mortal creature in this world.
No.
It did not. But it did cover all of the sins of all of God's children.
Amen.
Those that God gave to the Son in the covenant of the grace.
Amen.
Even before time was.
Amen.
And the Son promised to the Father that I will raise them up on the last day. All of them.
Yeah.
Not part of them.
No.
I'm not going to leave any behind. I will raise them all up on the last day. And Amen. No one shall snatch them out of my hand.
Right.
Not even you.
Right.
You're not going to snatch yourself out of the Lord's hands.
Thank God.
I don't care. Yeah, we would if we could. Well, that's just our nature. We would if we could. But praise be to God. Our security is not in us. But our security is in the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain. Behold, brethren. He who is the Lamb of God. That Lamb who was slain for you and I and for a multitude of others. That Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a rock of our salvation. He, brethren, He is the one who the psalmist wrote about. He says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. He's wonderful to you. He's been wonderful to this unworthy one that stands before you. We can't even begin, brethren, to comprehend or even to begin to expound upon the totality of the richness of God's mercy. And the grace that He has showered upon each and every one of us. We can't expound upon it even for us, this little group that has collected here today. Let alone a number that no man can number, that as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands on the seashore. We can't even begin to expound upon those things.
Preach on, brother. Don't be sorry about that. I'm happy. Lord's been good to us, brother.
I will close with this thought. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah.
If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, Jesus said unto him, I am the way.
Yes, amen.
The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have been given life, brethren. We have been given it abundantly. And our life, brethren, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our blessed Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our all and all. Blessed be His name. Well, Brother Guy, I didn't mean to take up all your time. I actually came to hear you. We praise God for His goodness. We praise God for His mercy. We praise God for you all. Blessed be His name.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What number is that?
God bless you, my brother. Love you. Love you. It's good.
What number?
511.
John was reading there in John 14 about the mansions in my father's house and then mansions.
Mansions there literally means places of heaven or abode, places where we have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Think about God's children. The scripture talks about God's people based on our own abilities and who we are by nature. There's absolutely no way we could have fellowship with the Lord. No way we could have communion with Him. No way we could expect communication from Him or be able to speak to Him. Based upon what we are by nature, we're separated from Him and He from us. There would be absolutely nothing we could do to remedy that. We would have no hope of ever having communion or fellowship with the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because of the blood of Jesus that washes us whiter than snow. See, Jesus, when He chose His bride, it wasn't based upon any loveliness in her. We read in the Old Testament, she was like a little aborted baby thrown out into an open field and left in its own blood. And left there dead because when the Lord came by, at a time of love, He said, live, and the baby became alive. But He didn't leave that little baby in the state that it was in. He didn't leave us in the state that we were in. He didn't just quicken us and leave us without any change. He dressed her up. He's began a work in her. He not only begins that work, He continues that work. Even here in this world, God's little people, though they be full of sin, at times look so lovely. You know, we have a hymn that says, Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship Thee. And all of us know when you look at an assembly, you look at me and I look at you, we're looking at sinners. Sinners that even when we would do good, we find evil present with us. But how delightful it is to see them gather and love one another, because they'd never do that without the Lord. Have joy, because without Him they'd have none. And have communion. Listen, today I believe we have communion with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I believe this place and in our hearts, we had a mansion, a place of heavenly abode, where He came and had fellowship with us. You've been in that meeting, hopefully this morning. It was for me. I hope it was for you. Isn't all the time that you show up at church you feel this, but the times when you feel His presence, when He manifests Himself to you, when you can feel like I belong to the Father because of His love for me, and you have a sweet hope in your heart that Jesus, when He died on the cross, He had you in mind. I don't mean a hope like a feeble wish. I mean a hope sure and steadfast, anchored in the finished work of Christ. That's biblical hope. That's the greatest comfort God's little children have in this world. And you feel that I belong to Him, that I have a right to be here, not because of me, but because of Him. I can love the brethren, not because I'm able to do that, but because He gave me the ability to do that. And you can have communion with God and communion with the Father. And you say, well, I've never really been able to love Jesus. If you've loved one of these brethren here among you, He said, in as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so when we get to love one another, we love Him and with Him. But listen, without Him, we don't have love to love one another.
It has to come from him, it has to be from him, and it's through him. He has given us these mansions, these little places of heaven and above. And I believe that was prepared by the blood of Jesus on the cross. What can wash away my sins? What can make me fit to be able to be in a worship service? What can make me fit for baptism? I'm not in myself. What can make me fit for church, for communion in the fellowship of the brethren? What can make this old sinner whole? What can do that? There's only one who has done it, by the way. He's not waiting on us to see whether he gets done or not. For God's own children, it was finished. Before in the covenant of grace, before the very foundation of the world, God made choice of his people, and then the Son came and saved them. He didn't try to do it, didn't want to do it, he completed it. And our sins were removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And in time, he comes and has fellowship with you. We have fellowship with him. We get to hear preaching, which we wouldn't even want to hear. If you got anything this morning, I got a lot. And I believe we got a lot. And thank God for that. If we got a lot, it's because Brother John was blessed of the Lord to give us a lot. And it was because we were blessed of the Lord to hear it and to feed on it. And if it had been up to us, we would never have wanted any of it. It would have upset us, made us mad. Did it make you mad or did it make you happy? Oh, nobody likes to hear that you're rotten and no good. The old nature gets mad for that. But God's own children who already know that, I already knew that, need to hear about one who can take care of somebody like that. Not only can, but has. And not only has, eternally, it's set, predetermined. We'll be with him, with him in glory. Here in time, we can look to him today and find what I need for this moment, for this hour. Listen, you're in a world that's full of trouble. You need him for the day, for the hour, for the moment. I need him for the rest of the day. I need him in this meeting. I need him right now. I need his fellowship. I need his communion. And when I'm walking with him, I'm walking in a mansion. And when I'm outside of him, well, I'm just, okay, I'm old Gary in a mess. And that's all. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, I don't want to stop right here and say that's all of them. Because I believe we're going home one day, and I believe there's going to be a glorious fellowship with him, a mansion where we are communing with him forever and ever in heaven and immortal glory, the likes of which we only see just a little bit here. Want to know what heaven's going to be like? I think the closest you'll ever see to it, heaven, is when you're in a meeting such as this and you feel the Lord's presence. Or any other time you feel his presence. If it's a family sitting around a table with food on it and they're praying and looking to the Lord, if it's in a funeral home where you've lost a loved one and you can feel his presence, whatever it is, wherever it is, and I can, the touch of his gentle hand, if I can feel him, the hymn writer said, prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. The same writer said this, how tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. And that's your feet. There are some dark times in this whole world for me when I can't feel him. So I go where the footsteps of the flock, and I come where the, try to feed our kids at the, you know, Solomon. Anyway, I'm not getting all that, but read that first chapter. And don't read it like it's a love letter between a man and a woman. Read it like it's a love letter between Christ and his church and church to Christ. And the communion you see there is going to be very intimate and beautiful. And you feel his presence. And what causes this for us? Nothing. There's nothing. I can't work. I can't do. I can't get. I can't gain. I can't change. I can't do anything. Nothing but the what? The blood of Jesus. And when we rest in that, well, there's a mansion for you. A place of heavenly abode. And I've enjoyed the meeting this morning very, very much. And thank God for the preaching. Thank God for your presence. And more importantly than anything, his manifest presence, I felt, I believe, with us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We acknowledge that. That's not boastful, because if we have it, it's only by his grace we have it. It's only by his grace. Let's stand and sing 511. If you love the Lord, that's the purpose.